Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour of Hill, Texas. Today is August 8th, 2017, or is 8-17-2021. We will start our second service today with a song entitled, A Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Savior, like a shepherd lead us, must we need the tender care. In the pleasant pastures feed us, for our use of foes prepared. Blessed Yahshua, thou hast bought us thine we are. Blessed Yahshua, thou hast bought us thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Yahshua, hear us when we pray. Blessed Yahshua, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Yahshua, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Yahshua, let us turn to thee. Early let us seek the favor, early let us do the will. This is Yahshua and only Savior, with our love our bosoms fill. Blessed Yahshua, hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Yahshua, thou hast loved us still. Part 3, Ezekiel's 47 River. We're going to get into this river is a vision that Ezekiel had. Vicki Hart of Track 17. It was reprinted in 1983. He wrote this, I guess, his last tract before he died. That and Tract Judgment of the, and the Living. Or the, what was the name of that? It's called the At the 11th Hour. That tract, I think it was number 16. And this Ezekiel River is number 17. So, it says, in that day, says the scriptures, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now this fountain is the fountain that is for the promoting of eternal life. And literally, people will come here with their physical problems and their spiritual problems because they won't know how to serve Yahweh with true worship. But they're going to be taught that. They're going to be taught how to cleanse their bodies and how to spiritually be healed physically and spiritually, because this is life eternal. Those that make this step, for it says in that day, says the scriptures, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, Zechariah 13:1. For the waters of this fountain contains medicinal properties that will heal both physical and spiritual infirmities. From this fountain flows the mighty river seen in the Ezekiel's vision. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his months, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary. Now, is this a real river, literal, physical river? Or is this spiritual truth emanating from the scriptures pertaining to the works of the sanctuary? We might be surprised to learn something that this may be a literal river. Because it's an antitypical version of the river of life in heaven. Recorded right here in Ezekiel 47. River of life. This is a river of life. There is a literal river of life in heaven. But we don't have a literal river of life here on earth, flowing to the sea. Now, it's pretty ironic that the United States, after the flood, geographically ended up surrounded with two great bodies of water, the Atlantic Ocean on the east coast and the Pacific Ocean on the west coast. Okay, think about that. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So this fountain for sin and uncleanness, don't be surprised if there won't be a literal river up here. Now, Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness one day cried, the children of Israel cried for water. There wasn't any water around, and they had their cattle was needing water. There was the great multitude was needing water. And Yahweh caused a great river come up, just appeared out there. And it watered all of the animals, and it watered all of the people. So Yahweh's hand is not short. He can prepare a table in the wilderness for his people. And he did. He proved that for 40 long years. So for Israel and the mixed multitude that came with them out of Egypt. So Ezekiel 47:8-12 tells about this here healing water. Volume 6 of the Testimony, page 227, page 228 also So that's in six teeth. Okay, as Zechariah's prophecy projects the house of David. Now it says church here, but we're going to convert that into the literal, physical house of David. And we literally have restored unto the house of David the sanctuary system with all of the feast days and all divine institutions that are to be practiced here in the New Testament. This is what the apostles set up after Yeshua commissioned them. Before he went back to heaven, he set this system up with the apostles. The keeping of the feast days, performing their vows at these appointed times, just like they did under Moses. Same thing, same government Moses had for the children of Israel, but they didn't have to, but the apostles didn't have to perform the sacrificial slaying of the animals. That had been changed by Yahshua's death on the cross. He became the sacrifice from then on. All he had to do is keep his commandments of the sanctuary and observe holy days at their appointed time. Each holy day had a special function. I'm talking about the annual holy days, the Passover, the Pentecost, the Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There were 6 additional holy days and 12 more new moons every year. So 18 additional holy days was added to 52 seventh-day Sabbath. Okay. So as the Zechariah's prophecy projects the house of the David, the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, set up in with the recognition as the everlasting kingdom of the David in the time of the loud cry. In the time. Now, the time of the loud cry is in the 12th parabolic hour. And that's the hour we're in now. Thus, it becomes present truth in that day. So, you can understand now why this is called a new movement that succeeded the last movement of the Adventists. The last movement was the fourth group of laborers, the Adventists, working in the 10th and 11th parabolic hour. This last hour is the 12th hour, allotted for the loud cry. The 10th and the 11th hour was not allotted for the loud cry. It's only for the teaching and announcing of the three angels' messages and the fourth and fifth angel at their appointed time. That's another thing. That fourth angel is a sealing angel that Adventists never laid claim to. Yet the Adventists produced 144,000 that are sealed by that fourth angel. So the three angels' messages, Adventists, not have anything to do with the fourth angel, and yet the fourth angel has to come at the appointed time for the sealing of the 144,000 that comes out at the end of the Adventist movement. Okay, so now, this new movement, the fifth group of letters, Matthew 20, verse 6, with a whole new message, they have the loud cry message. They have the loud cry. This loud cry, first to the church, will produce the 144,000. The loud cry then, in the second phase, will produce the great multitude from around the world. And also open up the resurrections for all of those here back to Adam. That's what the loud cry message is for. It's in two phases, but it accomplishes the one main object, and that is for the harvesting of the righteous living and our harvesting of the dead. It says the first shall be last and the last shall be dead. First. Well, those that are living in this 12th hour that comes through the first harvest, into the harvest that are harvested, they represent the last that was called into the vineyard. The first one started with Adam. So now Adam and all of those resurrected then will be the last ones come forth to be harvested to join the living. Okay, it says now, thus it becomes present truth in that day, declares inspiration, shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David was in his day, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, like it was for Moses, and as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Yahshua was the angel of Yahweh that went with Moses down into Egypt for the delivering of the children of Israel out of the bondage of sin. So, that's found in Zechariah 12:8. Before the great multitude of Revelation 7, 9 to 14, a living, not resurrected multitude, as inspiration attests, and the following testimony. For the message of the renewing power of the Yahweh's grace will be carried unto every country and time until the truth shall belt the world of the number of them that shall be sealed with will be those who have come from every nation and kindred and tongue and people. From every country will be gathered men and women, the great multitude of verse 9, who will stand before the throne of the Yahweh and before the Lamb, crying, salvation unto Elohim which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, Revelation 7:10. But before this work can be accomplished, we must experience here in our own country the work of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. That's CT of page 532 by Ellen G. White, no doubt. Well, thus, the true witness, Yahshua, Revelation 1:5, testifies that contrary unto the prevalent belief, the great multitude of Revelation 7, 9, 10 are living contemporary saints, not resurrected ones, and that together them cannot be accomplished until the work of the Holy Spirit is experienced upon the heart of the believers in the United States. So now this work has to begin right here. The purification starts at the headwaters of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, and that's right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. For the house of the David, one of the several designations of the purified Seventh-day Adventist Church in the time of the loud cry, that the church in her purity, the house of David, shall be as Yahweh before the people, just as Yahweh made Moses before and to Pharaoh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. I have made you a deity. That God is a pagan term. I shouldn't have used it. Unto Pharaoh. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Servant, in other words. Exodus 7:1. In other words, Yahweh is saying unto Moses, that is, thou shalt represent my person and act like Yahweh by requiring obedience unto my command. By meeting out unto the disobedience such punishment as none but Elohim can inflict, and to which end thou shalt have my omnipotent assistance. This is Yahweh's commission unto his purified congregation, the house of David. At the time of the harvest, such was the divine power with which the apostle Peter was vested when he said, "Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto Yahweh." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter said unto her, "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she straightway at his feet and yielded up the spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Acts 5, 4, 7, 9, 10. In that day, when Yahweh pours upon the house of the David the spirit of the grace and supplication, Zechariah 12, 10, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13, 1. Note that this fountain is able to wash away two conditions. First, sin. Second, uncleanness. What is the difference between the one and the other? Sin is a transgression of the law. And the law covers all law, moral and spiritual. 1 John 3, 4. And the result of sin is a decay of the body. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man hath to run an issue out of his flesh, he calls the issue, he is unclean. Leviticus 15:2. The biblical term for sickness is uncleanness, and taken into the body for food, that which is forbidden by the word of Yahweh, is transgression of the law and corruption of the body. Uncleanness. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Yahshua and of Yahweh. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Yahweh. Walk as children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5, 5 to 8 and 11. Yahweh is able to heal the soul and the body, but he will not heal the body before he has healed the soul. Now get this. I'm doing this Ezekiel's vision a second time, Ezekiel 47, because I want to point out some deeper meanings and some things that I more or less kind of glossed over. He is able to heal the soul and the body, but he will not heal the body before he heals the soul, or before he has healed the soul. Sin first, then uncleanness. You've got to recognize what sin is and turn away from it and be cleansed from it. Have it blotted off of the record books. Then he can take care of the feeble body and heal it as well. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Ezekiel 36:29. The power that is able to wash away the filthiness of man is open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and is represented by the fountain of the Zechariah's prophecy, volume 6 of the Testimonies, page 227. I'm going to go get that volume of the Testimonies and read that page. Let's look at page 226 of Ellen G. White. It says, "The Living Truth of Yahweh." This is in volume 6 of the Testimony. "For the living truth of the Yahweh is to be made known in our medical institutions. Many persons who come to them are hungering and thirsting for the truth. And when it is rightly presented, they will receive it with gladness. Our sanitariums have been the means of elevating the truth for this time and bringing it before the thousands." Well, the Seventh-day Adventists don't operate these sanitariums today that Ellen G. White started, because they have joined the medical institution association, and so they have left the natural healing arts that the Bible advocates, and they have gone to the doctors of Ekron, and they have gone to the poisonous medicines, and so now the Adventists no longer operate these sanitariums using the natural healing methods of the water, pure water, and so forth. The religious, pure water and herbs and the natural. For the religious influence that pervades these institutions inspires the guest with the confidence for the assurance that Yahweh presides there, and the many prayers offered for the sick make an impression upon their hearts. Many who have never before thought of the value of the soul are convicted by the Spirit of Yahweh, and not a few are led to change their whole course of life. Impressions that will never be effaced are made upon many who have been self-satisfied, who have thought their own standard of character to be sufficient, and who have felt no need of the righteousness of Yahshua. When the future tests come, when enlightenment comes to them, not a few of these will take their stand with Yahweh's remnant people. Yahweh is honored by the institutions conducted in this way. In His mercy, He has made the sanitarium such a power in the relief of the physical suffering that thousands have been drawn to them to be cured of their maladies, and with many physical healing is accompanied by the healing of the soul. From the Savior they receive the forgiveness of their sins. They receive the grace of the Yahshua and identify themselves with Him. With His interest, His honor, many go away from our sanitariums with a new heart. The change is decided. These returning to their homes are as lights in the world. Yahweh makes them His witnesses. Their testimony is, "I have seen His greatness. I have tasted His goodness. Come and hear, all ye that fear Yahweh, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Psalm 66:16. Thus, through the prospering hand of our Yahweh upon them, our sanitarium have been the means of accomplishing great good, and they are to rise still higher. Yahweh will work with the people who will honor Him. Wonderful is the work which Yahweh designs to accomplish through His servant. that his name may be glorified. Yahweh made Joseph a fountain of life unto the Egyptian nation. Through Joseph, the life of that whole people was preserved. Through Daniel, Yahweh saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon, and these deliverances were an object lesson. They illustrated unto the people the spiritual blessings offered them through the connection with the Yahweh whom Joseph and Daniel worshiped. So through his people today, Yahweh desires to bring blessings unto the world. And every worker in his heart, Yahshua abides. Everyone who will show forth his love unto the world is a worker together with Yahweh for the blessing of humanity. As he receives from the Savior grace to impart to others, from his whole being flows forth the tide of the spiritual life. Yahshua came as a great physician to heal the wounds that sin has made in the human family, and his Spirit, working through his servant, imparts to sin-sick, suffering human beings a mighty healing power that is efficacious for the body and the soul. In that day, says the Scripture, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. The waters of this fountain contain medicinal properties that will heal both physical and spiritual infirmities. From this fountain flows a mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth for the service of the river, shall come, shall live. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his mouth, because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:8-12. Such a river of life and healing Yahweh designed that by his power working through them, our sanitariums shall be. Our sanitariums are to show forth to the world the benevolence of heaven, and through Yahshua's visible presence is not discerned in the building. Though Yahshua's visible presence is not discerned in the building, yet their workers make plain the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So, we are to raise these sanitariums up again here in these last days. The natural healing methods. The promise of the Yahweh and Israel are also for the institutions established today for the glory of his name. We're on page 228, Testimony, Volume 6, by Ellen G. White. Thus saith the Yahweh, the maker thereof, the Yahweh that formed it to establish it, yet life, the Yahshua is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's in Jeremiah 33:2-3. For thus saith the Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, concerning this city, behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of the peace and truth, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. This is the house of David right here, the 144,000 that's going to join it. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yahshua or Rashida. Jeremiah 33:2-9 and 16. the physician's work for souls. Okay, that's the end of that little testimony there. Let us now get back to our original testimony, taken from Tract 17 of V.T. Howlett, Mighty River of Ezekiel 47. Okay, it says, records Ezekiel, in the 25th year of our captivity and in the 14th year after that, the city was smitten. And the selfsame day the hand of Yahweh was upon me and brought me thither to the temple building, Ezekiel 40 verse 1. Then as recorded in the 47th chapter, Ezekiel was shown in vision certain particulars of the temple building some years before the Israelites were made free from the Babylonian captivity. Now this Ezekiel's river prophecy by the Ezekiel's vision is for our time now, because it was given to Ezekiel before Judah was delivered out of the Babylonian captivity, ending a 70-year captivity. Today we are ending another 70-year captivity right here in 2017. And this Ezekiel River is becoming very prominent now, because it's going to be this temple erected again. And it's going to be a spiritual temple. And it's going to have all of these here ingredients of health reform in it, the natural things that Ellen G. White taught. The sanitarians that Ellen G. White raised up, those methods are going to be taught again. Because the multitudes that are going to be coming unto this fountain of David, they're going to come here for healing, physically, and then spiritually. No, they're going to come here and get the truth. Their soul is going to be converted. They're going to be brought to the light of the truth of the sanctuary. And then once they're converted, they will automatically follow the health laws. Automatically. Whatever you tell them and teach them, whatever's wrong with them, they'll automatically follow the health laws. But they're going to come here not knowing what health laws are. They're going to come here looking for salvation. They're going to bring their all of their wealth. They're going to bring their gold and silver. Kings are going to bring, nations are going to come. So, there we have it. It says, as the temple erected after captivity was a type of Yahweh's purified church, the house of David, in the time of the loud cry, and that's where we're at. This is what we're going to have at the time that the loud cry breaks forth and these people start coming, respond to this loud cry. They're going to be coming because they know that this is the only place that they can get healed of their physical and spiritual infirmity. Therefore, Ezekiel's river, proceeding from the temple, applies at this time, and is but the expansion of this fountain, that is to be in the house of the David, the kingdom church. Now I know why I'm doing this here, Ezekiel 47 river all over again, because I added Ellen G. White's comments to it from the 6T, page 226, 27, and 28. From this fountain flows a mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. Okay. Our Counsels on Health, page 210 by Ellen G. White. Let's read a little bit here. Memorials for Yahweh. Our sanatoriums and all their departments should be memorials for Yahweh. His instrumentalities for the sowing of the seeds of the truth in the human hearts, this they will be if rightly conducted. The living truth of Yahweh is to be made known in our medical institutions. Many persons who come to them are hungry and thirsting for the truth, and when it is rightly presented, they will receive it with gladness. Our sanitariums have been the means of the elevating of the truth for this time, and for the bringing it before the thousand, for the bringing of the truth before the thousand. For the religious influence that pervades these institutions inspires the guests with the confidence, the assurance, that the Yahweh presides there, and the many prayers offered for the sick make an impression upon their hearts. Many who have never before thought of the value of the soul are convicted by the Spirit of Yahweh, and not a few are led to change their whole course of their life. Impressions that will never be effaced are made upon many who have been self-satisfied, who have thought their own standards of the character to be sufficient, and have felt no need of the righteousness of the Yahshua. When the future test comes, when enlightenment comes to them, not a few of these will take their stand with Yahweh's remnant people. Yahweh is honored by the institutions conducted in this way. In His mercy, He has made the sanitariums such a power in the relief of the physical suffering that thousands have been drawn to them to be cured of their maladies. And you wonder why the Adventists let those General Conference Jesuit devils come in there and take over the Seventh-day Adventists and completely steer the Adventists off course into the murky waters of sin, and to cause the Adventists to completely dismantle their sanitariums and their health reform message. Oh yeah, the Adventists, they still publish Ellen G. White's books, counsels on diet and foods and counsels on health and all those good books, and they make millions of dollars off of them, but they sure don't allow the people to follow them, because they have torn down their sanitariums and put in the place of them medical institutions, hospitals that there's only chemotherapy, radiation, and poisonous drugs, destroying human life on every hand. So it says, and with many physical healings is accompanied by the healing of the soul. From the Savior they receive the forgiveness of their sin, they receive the grace of Yahshua, and identify themselves with Him, with His interest, His honor. Many go away from our sanitariums with new hearts. The change is decided. These returning unto their homes are as lights in the world. Yahweh makes them His witnesses. Their testimony is, I have seen His greatness, I have tasted His goodness. Come and hear, all ye that fear Yahweh, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Psalm 66:16. Thus, through the prospering hand of Yahweh upon them, our sanitariums have been the means of accomplishing great good, and they are to rise still higher. Yahweh will work with the people who will honor Him. Fountains of life. That's on page 210. Wonderful is the work which Yahweh designs to accomplish through His servants, that His name may be glorified. Yahweh made Joseph a fountain of life in the Egyptian nation. Through Joseph, the life of that whole people, that whole Egyptian nation, was preserved. And it also preserved the whole life of Israel. Israel had to come down. Jacob named Israel with his whole household of 70, had to come down and spend the last 5 years of the 7 years of drought down in Egypt with their son Joseph as the governor of Egypt, preserving life for the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Egypt, saved two nations, And all the nations that came in from all over the world, at the then known world, to buy grain from Joseph down in Egypt, it preserved the life of every nation that came and availed themselves. That's what this fountain of David represents today. Through Daniel's, Yahweh saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon. And these deliverances was his object lesson, for they illustrated unto the people of the spiritual blessings offered them, or by the spiritual blessings offered them, through the connection with the Yahweh whom the Joseph and Daniel worship. So through his people today, Yahweh desires to bring blessings unto the world. Every worker in whose heart Yahshua abides, everyone who will show forth his love unto the world as a worker together with the Yahweh for the blessing of the humanity, as he receives from the Savior grace to impart unto others, from his whole being flows forth the tide of the spiritual life, for the Yahshua came as a great physician for the healing of the wounds that sin has made in the human heart, a family, and his spirit working through his servants. That's why he chose us here. He chose his servants, Ellen G. White, Jones and Wagner, Taylor G. Bunch, Emmett Anderson, V.T. Hollis, Ben Roden, Verlis W. Johnson, and Elijah David, last but not least, suffering human beings a mighty healing power that is efficacious for the body and the soul. In that day, says the scripture, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. The waters of this fountain contain medicinal properties that will heal both physical and spiritual infirmities. So this right here, this statement right here tells me that there's going to be a literal physical river that the people are going to be able to go and dip into. Just like Haman, the Syrian, that came to Israel to seek healing for his leprosy. The little bond maid that was taken captive by the Syrians out of Israel. She was a wonderful little witness. And she said, oh, that my master could go to the prophet there in Israel. Why, he would get him healing of his infirmities with this leprosy. And so Nathan believed it, and boy, he took off, and he went to Israel. And he came back a healed man because he believed and did what the little lady from Israel told him about. Okay, from this fountain flows a mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river, the rivers are, it says rivers here with an S on it, shall come. So these rivers are going to go in four directions, like they did there in Genesis, shall come and shall live. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed, it shall bring forth new fruit according unto his month, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:8-12. Such a river of life and healing Yahweh designs that by his power, working through them, our sanitarium shall be. And once that takes place, then the church is qualified for service. Sister White goes on to say right here, on Council on Health, page 210, continued on at the bottom, the church qualified for service. Yahshua has empowered his church to do the same work. He empowered the Seventh-day Adventist church to do the same work that he did during his ministry. Today he is the same compassionate physician that he was while on this earth. We should let the afflicted understand that in him there is healing, there is a healing balm for every disease, restoring power for every infirmity. His disciples in this time are to pray for the sick as verily as his disciples of old prayed, and recoveries will follow, for the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. James 5:15. We need the Holy Spirit's power, the calm assurance of the faith that can claim Elohim's promises. Review and Herald, June the 9th, 1904. Okay, I'm going to continue reading Ellen G. White's Counsels on Health. We're on page 211 now. It says, living water for the thirsty soul. Yahweh the Father, wants wise men and women acting in the capacity of nurses to comfort and help the sick and the suffering. It is for the object of soul saving that our sanitariums are established. In our daily ministration, we see many careworn, sorrowful faces. What does the sorrow on these faces show? The need of the soul. For the peace of Yahshua, poor, sad human beings go to broken cisterns which can hold no water, thinking to quench their thirst. Let them hear a voice saying, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water. Come to me, that ye may have life." Isaiah 55:1, John 5:40. Counsels on Health, page 211. Now start, It is that surprising souls may be led to the living water. It is that the thirsting souls may be led unto the living water, that we plead for the sanitariums, not expensive mammoth sanitariums, but home-like institutions in the pleasant places. The sick are to be reached not by the massive building, but by the establishment of the many small sanitariums, which are to be as lights shining in a dark place. Those who are engaged in this work are to reflect the sunlight of Yahshua's face. They are to be a salt that has not lost its savor by the sanitarium work. Properly conducted, the influence of the true, pure religion will be extended unto many souls. From our sanitariums, trained workers are to go forth into places where the truth has never been proclaimed and do missionary work for the Master, claiming the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," Matthew 28:20. See a special testimony, Series B, number 8, pages 13 and 14, and 1907. Sanitariums and Gospel Work. The Review and Herald, March the 23rd, 1905. Our sanitariums are one of the most successful means of reaching all classes of people. Yahshua is no longer in this world in person to go through our cities and towns and villages healing the sick. He has commissioned us to carry forward the medical missionary work that he began. And in this work, we are to do our very best. Institutions for the care of the sick are to be established, where men and women may be placed under the care of the Elohim-fearing medical missionaries and be treated without the drugs. Unto these institutions will come those who have brought disease on themselves by the improper habits of eating and drinking. These are to be taught the principles of the healthful living. They are to be taught the value of self-denial and self-restraint. They are to be provided with a simple, wholesome, palatable diet, and are to be cared for by the wise physicians and nurses. Our sanitariums are the right hand of the Yahshua, Y-A-H-S-P-E-L, opening doors whereby suffering humanity may be reached with the glad tidings of the healing through the Yahshua, In these institutions, the sick may be taught to commit their cases to the great physician who will cooperate with their earnest efforts to regain health, bringing unto them healing of the soul as well as healing of the body. The Adventists letting down their banner on this and abandoning the health institutions of our sanitarium and going and joining up with the world and their medical institutions, this is what has opened up the floodgate for the destroying of humanity. Had the Adventists maintained their position on raising up these sanitariums by the thousands throughout the world of these natural healing methods, the Drug Administration would have never come into being if the Adventists had stood their ground on that. There is most precious missionary work to be done in our sanitarium. And then Yahshua and the angels work to relieve suffering caused by the bodily disease. And their work is by no means to stop there. The prayers offered for the sick and the opening of the scriptures unto them give them a knowledge of the medical, great medical missionary. Their attention is called unto him as the one who can heal all disease. They learn about the great gift of the eternal life which the Yeshua Messiah is longing to bestow on those who receive him. They learn how to prepare for the mansion that Yahshua has gone to prepare for those that love him. If I go away, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:3. In the word of Yahweh, there are gracious promises from which those who are suffering, whether in the body or in the mind, may receive comfort and hope and encouragement. For the plan to provide institutions for the proper care of the sick originated with the Yeshua, or with Yahweh the Father, and he has instructed his people that these institutions should be established. With them are to be connected intelligent, Yahweh-fearing physicians who know how to treat the sick from the standpoint of a skillful Christian physician. These physicians are to be earnest and active, serving the Yahweh in their activity. They are to remember that they are working in the place and under the oversight of the great physician. They stand as guardians of the beings that Yahshua has purchased with his own blood, and it is therefore essential that they be governed by the high and noble principles carrying out the will of the divine medical missionary who is ever watching over the sick and suffering. He who is set as a guardian of the health of the sick should understand by the experience of the soothing power of the grace of Yahshua, so that to those who come to him for treatment, he can impart in words the uplifting, health-giving power of the Yahweh's own truth. A physician is not fit for the medical missionary work until he has gained a knowledge of him who came to save perishing, sin-sick souls. If Yahshua is his teacher, if he has experimental knowledge of the truth, he can hold up the Savior before the sick and dying. The sick note carefully the looks and words and acts of their physician, and as a Christian physician kneels beside the bedside of the sufferer, asking the great physician to take the case into his own hands, an impression is made upon the mind of the sick, one that may result in the saving of his soul. This brings the first of our step. This hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and more. Let us close now with a song. Dusty Rose and Sandal Creek by Elijah Davis. Believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads he was in. Often prostrate and prone, carried his burden all alone as he journeyed along the road to Calvary. Dusty roads, sandal feet, oh, the journey was complete from the manger to the cross. Golden Street to a place, and that land where someday we all shall meet. road to Sandal Feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. This Jesus for his companion gave his places, his abode. Sandal feet were often weary underneath the heavy load. Ever complaining as he went along the way, on the way to Mount Calvary and the judgment day. Just Jesus and sandal feet, how would you like to meet that man named Joshua coming down your street? Would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah and wanted to be? Just Jesus and sandal feet, oh, the journey was complete from the manger to the cross. In those golden streets to a place in that land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, Dusty Road, Sandal Feet. The author of the story, Dusty Road, Sandal Feet.